number 4, if you'll turn to John chapter number 4, as we get to our text in a few moments. While you're turning, years going by, one of our great preachers by the name of Henry Ward Beecher knew that he was going to be away from his church on a particular Sunday morning, and he asked his brother Thomas Beecher to fill in for him in his absence. And many folks come to church that morning, and they didn't see Henry Ward Beecher sitting on the platform preparing to preach, but they seen his brother Thomas, and some began to leave as they would come in, and they seen Thomas and didn't see Henry Ward Beecher, but that didn't bother Thomas a bit. He just stood up and said, "Everyone that came this morning to worship Henry Ward Beecher, why don't you please leave, and the rest of us are going to worship God," amen? And that's what we're here for this morning, is to worship God, amen? Sometimes we get caught up in the wrong things and in our worship, and our worship gets messed up. And I just trust that God will speak to your heart this morning about how to worship. And if you examine your heart and examine your life this morning and see, are you really worshiping, amen? Or are you just coming and going through some motions that you feel necessary to go through? If you found John chapter 4, let's stand this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word if you're able. If not, we understand. In verse number 20, the Bible says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Excuse me. "For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? I ask you all this morning to remember Sister Kathy Potts as she travels back to Florida. She's flying probably in the air right about now, isn't she, Adam? So just keep her in your prayers as she's flying back to Florida this morning. But, you know, we come to God's house, and we come to worship. Amen. But some of us, I think, we just come out of obligation and out of a feeling that we have to be there, or the pastor's going to think wrong of us, or somebody's going to think wrong of us, or we just ain't doing right because we're not there, and we miss out on why we worship. And I think the story and the account here of the woman of Samaria that Jesus encountered really helps us to understand the frame of mind and the thought that goes behind worship. You see, we don't come to worship because we're thinking that it's a time just to get together with friends. That's not worship. Well, let me just read you a little poem that maybe will help to clarify this. Some go to church to take a walk. Some go to church to laugh and talk. Some go to church to meet a friend. Some go to church their time to spend. Some go to church to meet another. Some go to church a fault to cover. Some go to church for speculation. Some go to church for observation. Some go to church to doze and nod. The wise go to church to worship God. Amen. You see, we all have different reasons why we're here this morning, but our purpose and our focus and our goal this morning might be to worship God. Amen. And there's something wrong sometimes in our worship. There's something wrong sometimes when we leave the house of God and we don't feel invigorated. We don't feel like we've done or have been given what is needed. And we blame it on the singing. We blame it on the preaching. We blame it on the people around us and maybe the distractions. Maybe some child somewhere bothered you. If you got a problem with the child, you really need to pray about that. Amen. 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 If we don't have our children in the house of God, we're not going to have a house of God. Amen. Hey, man, you better realize that. But we all have our reasons and our excuses for why we don't feel blessed, or why we didn't feel like we have worshiped, or why we didn't feel and we don't feel like we've been fulfilled when we get to the house of God. Let me tell you this. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's not the singing's fault. It's not the distractions around you's fault. It's your fault. Amen. If you missed out on a blessing when you came to God's house to worship Him and you leave feeling like you haven't got anything, let me show you something that Jesus pointed out here in these passages of Scripture that will help you maybe to understand if your worship is right and if your mind is right, if your heart's right and your focus is right. Let's see. We see that He's talking to the woman of Samaria. He met the woman at the well there and told her that He had something that she wasn't going to find anywhere else. Amen. He had something that the world couldn't give her. He had something that dipping in that well that she was dipping in could never satisfy, because He had some living water that would spring up in her soul, and she would never thirst again spiritually if she desired it. Amen. And she wanted to know more about this living water, and she wanted to know more about who Jesus was, and she wanted to know more about how He could tell her these things. But we see that she never was able to get fulfilled in what she had before, because it was all wrong. Look at her life and look at where she was. Back in verses 15 to 18, it says, "The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water, that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest truly." Let me tell you something. You'll never be able to worship in the right way if you have a wrong relationship. Amen. The problem with us many times is our affections and our hearts are set on things outside of the house of God. Our relationships are skewed in the wrong direction. Amen. She had wrong relationships that prevented her from being blessed the way that God wants to bless her. And friend, you'll never have a right worship experience if you have a wrong relationship going on in your life. If you try to hang out with the wrong people, act like the wrong people, be just like everybody else in the world, you'll never be able to worship God, because God is looking for a holy generation. God is looking for a peculiar people. God is looking for those who are different than everybody else. And until you have a right relationship, and the right relationship is a relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll never be able to worship effectively. And you'll never be blessed in the house of God. Christian that starts dabbling in the world, Christian that starts hanging out with the ungodly, will never find fulfillment in worship in the house of God with a wrong relationship in their life. Amen. 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 Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. Amen. And when you start missing out on the worship experience, when you start missing out on the blessing that comes from being in the house of God and worshiping Him, and your mind is stayed and your mind is focused and your mind is fixed on anybody else other than Jesus, amen, you got a relationship problem. Amen. You'll never be blessed with a wrong relationship. You'll never worship right with the wrong relationship. But not only was her relationship wrong, but in verse 19, we see that her reasoning was wrong. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now Jesus had done told her that he was the one that could give her that living water, and that he could be the one who could fulfill her and the one that could help her. There was none other in all of Israel. There was none other in all of the teaching that they'd ever had that could bring unto her and could bring unto any individual that living water in their soul. He was the only one who would ever be able to take away that thirst, that they would never thirst again. God Almighty himself told his people. God Almighty himself shared with his people. God Almighty himself convinced his people through his actions that he and he alone was able to supply their every need and give them what they needed, even in a barren land. As they wandered through the wilderness, it was God who had fed them. As they wandered through the wilderness, it was God that had brought water from the rock to quench their thirst. It was only God that had ever been able to supply their need. And now she's looking at God in the flesh, and she's thinking, like a man, well, you must be a prophet. Amen. See, too many of us, we worship wrong because we forget who Jesus is. Amen. We reason wrong, we worship wrong, and we miss out on the worship experience because in our reasoning, how we try to bring God down to our level. God sent his son in the likeness of sinful man, amen, that he might deliver us from the curse of sin, that he might give us that living water, amen, that springs up in our souls. But we miss out on worshiping him the right way because we miss who Jesus is. Amen. We completely overlook him. Here's a man that had done, told her, someone who's done shared with her all of her own volition, of her own testimony. Come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Amen. I think he probably expounded a whole lot more than what John has got wrote down here, because he told her everything about her bad self. And praise God, and all she could think of, well, you must be a prophet. Only God. Only God can know that. Amen? And sometimes we reason Jesus down from off his throne. We reason Jesus down to our level. Amen? And we forget. Sometimes we want to see the human Jesus. Sometimes we want to see the Jesus that walked among the men, but we don't want to see the Jesus that was God and all God and holy God and fully God. Amen? And we come to the house of God, and we talk about Jesus. Let me tell you this morning, outside of Jesus, there would be no hope for me. Outside of Jesus, there would be no hope for you. Outside of Jesus, there would be no hope for humanity, because we'd all still be under the curse of the law, under the curse of sin, all condemned to a devil's hell outside of what God had done. You know, those who were depending and those who were living the law and fulfilling the law and trying to conform to the law were looking to Jesus, and us who look back at the law are looking back at Jesus fulfilling the law and Jesus meeting our every need. And Jesus being the holy Lamb of God that was able to take away the sins of the world. And praise God, we miss out on seeing Jesus for who he really is. And we don't worship. That was Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, 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 yeah. Jesus, 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 yeah. Yeah, Jesus, 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 yeah. You heard it enough? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, 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 we've heard all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Man, have you forgot who Jesus really is? Have you forgot what Jesus has done for you? Have you forgot what Jesus has delivered you from? Have you forgot what Jesus has promised you and what he's preparing for you and what's in store for you? If you have not forgot who Jesus is, your heart and your mind and your desire this morning ought to be, "Whoa, Jesus, my Savior, hallelujah, glory to the name of Jesus who delivered me from my sin. Jesus, 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 there's something about that name." Amen. Amen. I tell you what, we've got to the point to where we've got so apathetic and so complacent that we have forgot who Jesus is because our reasoning has got screwed up because we allow ourselves to focus on the carnal things instead of the spiritual things that God has given us. We see the carnal Jesus, but we miss out on the spiritual Jesus, the holy Jesus. We reason ourselves right out of a blessing. Amen? Just like this woman did. "I perceive that you're a prophet. Oh, Jesus was a good man. Oh, Jesus was a healer. Oh, Jesus," that she missed out on who Jesus was. Are you missing out on worshiping this morning because you have wrong reasoning in your heart? Man, get it back in your heart and mind what Jesus has done for you and where he's brought you from and where he's taken you to, the things that he's promised you according to his word. And I tell you what, you'll see Jesus in a whole new light. Amen. Amen. But then look at verse number 20. "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Not only was her relationships wrong, not only was her reasoning wrong, but her religion was wrong. And I tell you what, I'm not ashamed to say it, there's a whole lot of wrong religion in this world today. There's a whole lot of wrong religion in America today. There's a whole lot of wrong religion in our Baptist churches today. Amen. There's a whole lot of wrong religion in God's people today. And we need to get the wrong stuff out. And we need to get back to the book and preach the book and live the book and swear by the book and hold true to the book. Because praise God, outside of that, everything is wrong. Amen. Fella asked me Friday, "Well, Blade, what's the difference between the Baptist and the Methodist?" I said, "Whoa." I said, "Well, it opens up a whole lot of issues that I got to say." And I said, "Basically, what it gets down to, there's a whole lot of stuff in religion that's man-made." Amen. And the things that are man-made are wrong. I don't care what denomination it is. If it's man-made, if it's man-instituted, it is wrong. That's a pretty weak amen on a statement that is so true and so profound. Anything in our worship, anything in our religious seeking, our religious way of worship that is wholly and solely man-made and man-dreamed, that man-instituted, is wrong.
Amen.
Amen. My answer to the question, after answering a whole lot of individual issues, was basically this: we uphold the book. Amen. Nothing but the book.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We live by the book, not by man's teachings, not by what man has taught, not by what man has said, not by what some bishop, I don't preach what some bishop hands down to me. I preach what God gives me from my heart. Amen. I don't preach what some denominational hierarchy has laid out and has sent out that we're going to preach. We preach, we are led by the Spirit. Amen. And we live by the book. Amen. The Baptists are separated, and the Baptists are known primarily as the people of the book. He said, well, what makes you different than any other Protestant? I said, well, the Baptists are not Protestants. How many of you realize that Baptists are not Protestant? See, a lot of people don't know that. The Baptists are not Protestant. The Baptists have always been set outside, called Anabaptists, because we have always stood against the practice of infant baptism, which is instituted by man, not by God. Nowhere in that book will you ever find anyone that was baptized that didn't make a decision for his own self to be baptized.
Amen.
Amen. You see, we got all kinds of little things that are man-made. We got some things in our Baptist denomination that are man-made, man-inspired, man-instigated, and they're wrong. You know, when your religion gets outside of the Word of God, and your religion starts going contrary to the Word of God, no matter what it is, it's wrong. She said, we worship in this mountain. And you say in Jerusalem's where you ought to worship. And her religion was wrong, because if you know anything about the history of Samaria, they were part of the northern kingdom that broke apart and broke away after the death of Solomon from Israel. And the northern kingdom became Israel. The southern kingdom became Judah. And in the northern kingdom, Jeroboam, he chose to start his own religion. And then after the children of Israel were carried away, the 10 tribes were dispersed throughout the land, and they brought other people back into Israel, and the other religions and the other people, they began to infuse all the different beliefs and all the different things that had come from the lands where they had come. And what they had in Israel, what they had in the northern kingdom, was a bastardized version of what God had instituted originally. It had been polluted, it had been messed up, and it had been tore up to the point to where you can no longer recognize it as what God had said, no matter what form or fashion they had. It was wrong religion. And see, that's the problem with traditional religion. You know, what's wrong with our worship is sometimes we have wrong relationships, wrong reasoning, wrong religion. But then we can question what's wrong with tradition in religion. Well, as we just was looking at back in 1 Kings in chapter 12, if you want to go read it, I'm not going to read it later or now, verses 28 to 31, the Bible tells how Jeroboam made two golden calves. And he set them up. And he set one up in Shiloh. He set one up in Dan. And people began to come to Dan. He said, now these are your gods. You don't have to go back down to Jerusalem. First place, man-made. Amen? First place starts contradicting God's word. Amen? You don't have to do it this way. Then he ordained and instituted his own priests who were not of the sons of Levi. Amen. So it didn't matter who you was. If you wanted to be a priest, any old body could just become a priest and just offer the sacrifices that they were offering to these fake gods and to these fake, the pseudo false religion that had been set up. And he made it to mirror, he made it to look like the worship that was going on down in Jerusalem. He made it look right. He made it sound right. He made it seem right. But it wasn't right. Amen? We got a whole lot of that going on today. And people are dying and going to hell. People are missing out on what it is to really worship, because they're trying to worship in a fake environment. Not only is it a fake or a false environment, they're trying to worship in a hostile environment. Amen. Because when you begin to speak truth, you will offend them. And when you begin to speak truth, they will begin to force you out and push you out. Because they don't want to hear truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. And then that bleeds over into traditional worship. Because now not only do you have the false worship, you've got the accepted worship. You had the same people who were still going to Jerusalem, the same people who were still going to worship the way that God had told them to worship and the way that God had instructed them to worship. Here in the next few verses, Jesus is telling her, yeah, Jerusalem is where we were supposed to worship, and we worship what we know we're worshiping because salvation is of the Jews. But the problem is, even in Jesus' time, that the worship that was supposed to be right, that worship that was supposed to conform to what thus saith the Word of God, had got polluted. It had got infected with man's touch. And in Jesus says in Matthew 15, verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He was talking about Jerusalem. He was talking about in the temple. He was talking about where everybody thought it was the right way to worship, but they had stopped worshiping according to God's word, and they were worshiping the way they wanted to. They were worshiping the way that it pleased everybody. Timothy said in the last days there would be the time when they would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We know what, we know why, and we know where it comes from, and it has to come from the heart. If it don't come from the heart, it's meaningless, it's hopeless. It's kind of like the law firm, heart and head. Head died, our heart died, and all that was left was head. Amen. Praise God. And that's what's happened in our churches. The heart has died, and we're trying to worship from the head, and we're trying to worship legally. We're trying to worship the way that somebody has said that we should, and we've missed the blessing that God has in worshiping him the way that he wants us to worship him. Amen. Amen. Look at what Jesus said. Verses 23 to 24. He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, the days are coming, and now is, when true worshipers. Ask yourself this morning, am I a true worshiper? Am I a true worshiper? Am I just here because I have to be? Or am I a true worshiper? Am I here because I feel obligated to be? Or am I a true worshiper? Am I here this morning because of what's in my heart and what I want to do and what I want to say and how I want to worship? Or am I just going through the form and fashion just to make everybody happy? He said, the time is now when true worshipers. Let me give you a little hint. Let me give you a little word, a study, idea about worship is and what a true worshiper is. That word, worship, or worshipers, comes from a Greek word, proskuneo. It means to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. It means to fawn or crouch, to prostrate oneself in homage. It means to reverence and to revere. In other words, it means to worship from your whole heart, like you're grateful, like you're thankful, like you're can't tell somebody enough how good they've been to you and how thankful you are for what they've done for you. That's what worship is all about, and that's why we come to the house of God, that our hearts might be stirred into remembering who we are and where we were and where He's brought us from and where He's taken us to. It might put a joy in our heart, and maybe sometimes somebody would take a shouting fit. Maybe sometimes somebody would say amen, or maybe somebody would shout hallelujah because Jesus has been so good to me.
Amen.
Amen. We miss out on worship. Amen. Because our hearts ain't right. Our hearts ain't in the right place. Humbled. Humbled. What did God said? Well, God said back in Isaiah, I think it was. I know He says it over in Psalm 51. But God said, here's the man that I'll be close to. Here's the one that I seek. The one with a broken and a contrite spirit. The one that'll humble himself. You know why we miss out on worship and why we miss out on the worship experience? Because we've never come to worship. We've never humbled our hearts. We've never humbled ourselves. We never put ourselves in the place where we need to be and see Him for who He really is. And we miss it simply because we're unthankful, simply because we're unwilling to submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to His will. He says, when true worshipers, amen, true worshipers are a humble lot. True worshipers are a thankful lot. True worshipers are an unashamed lot. Amen.
Amen.
True worshipers are unafraid. You ever see a dog when it sees its master? He don't care who's around. He don't have any dignity. Amen. Man, he sees his, especially, man, we got Becky and Billy's little dog up there, Alba. And man, she has cried. Oh my, she cried when they left for 2-3 hours. She cries. And when they come home and get home from vacation and she sees them, that little dog is going to go plumb crazy. Amen. She has no decorum. She don't care what anybody thinks. She's going to get plumb ignorant. Amen. Why don't we? Why don't we? True worship. True worship. Man, we just cut loose and let it happen. We just cut loose and praise God. We cut loose and tell Him how thankful we are for what He's done. True worshipers will worship in spirit. Why? Because the essence of God is as a spirit. Amen? And the essence of God deals with man in the spirit. He deals with us through His spiritual interaction with our spirit. Our spirit is our rationale. Our spirit is our conscience being that dwells and comes from deep within us, what we call our heart, our soul, our innermost and most reserved being that no one else knows about. He says true worshipers will humble themselves and be thankful and lose all decorum because they're dealing with God in the Spirit. And when Holy Spirit God shows up in your heart and in your life, and when He begins to stir in you, my gosh, He can open the tears of the hardest individual and make the tears flow down your face. He can put a shout in the heart, in the life of the most reserved and most conservative a person that you ever know, and how you've heard me talk. And Sister Mary remembers, I've seen her, she's raised her hand, Mrs. Fox, amen. She was just the meekest, sweetest little old lady that you'd ever see. Wasn't she, Brother Calvin? You didn't hear a whole lot out of her, but praise God, when it come time to worship, that little old hanky with them purple flowers on it will come off and start waving, and pretty soon it was, she was worshiping God, amen, because she realized that he delivered her from the depths of hell, amen, and had prepared a place for her. Man, I just, you know, there's individuals in your life that you never forget. And I always love to go to Franklin, because I always love, she wasn't ashamed to worship. A whole lot of people wasn't back then. Church wasn't quiet like it is today, amen. We didn't mind getting a little bit ignorant for Jesus. Amen. We didn't mind having people with us that didn't maybe understand what we was doing. But just like that dog that'll lick his master's hand, praise God, we was willing to lift up our voices and just to cry out and thank God and thank Jesus for what he's done. Because the Spirit of truth would walk through our hearts and walk through our lives. And he would show us who we are and show us where we deserve to be and show us where he brought me from. Pilate asked Jesus over in John, I think 21. He said, "What is truth?" Jesus answered the question in different places throughout the gospel. In John chapter 17, as Jesus is praying the Lord's Prayer, that's the real Lord's Prayer. He's praying, he's actually praying to God. It's not a pattern prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer as he prays for the church. He says, "Keep them by thy word, and thy word is truth." You want to know what truth is? Open your Bible. You want to know how to truly worship? Open your Bible. You want to know why you should get loud and get proud and get glad and get ignorant for Jesus? Open your Bible and he will tell you what good things he has done for you. He loadeth us daily with benefits. Praise God. And that's enough there just to shout the house down. I don't have need for anything because he supplied everything I need. But most of all, he saved me and he's redeemed me and he's claimed me for his own. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." And friends, if you're going to worship in truth, you got to belong to Jesus. You have to have that reservation made at the cross of Calvary when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. Because the truth is, without him, there is no hope. Because in John 8, Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Amen. The truth will make you free. You know, we got to the point where we forgot why we come to the house of God. We come to worship Jesus. Amen. And if we've come to worship him, let's worship him. Amen. Let's quit coming and sitting around and acting like we're just miserable to be here. I mean, the pews are padded. Amen. They got backs on them. Man, have you seen that picture on the internet? Them folks over in the Philippines worshiping in church, they're standing in water up to here in their church. And they're having church services. Hey, man, my God, the basement flood here and we want to cancel services. 4 inches of water in the basement. We can't have church upstairs. Why? Because they're not afraid to worship God. Because they realize how good God has been. Do you know what the saints of old have went through? Just to worship. Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Beaten, scourged, mocked, ridiculed, thrown into the worst part of the prison. But they worshiped God. And they worshiped him in spirit and in truth because they were thankful for what he had done for them. They weren't afraid to worship. They weren't afraid because the Spirit of God, I believe, came and visited their hearts long before he ever shook that jail. Amen. And they weren't afraid to tell the truth when they got up out of there either. Jesus said, "God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Truth is, none of us deserve what he's done for us. Brother Jim says,